Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
I'm here. And here we go, rocking into it once again. Numbers, the coronavirus. Always we start with the coronavirus, and we were off gathering the latest numbers and looking at the death toll, which is now 86,541 recovered, 253 out of the confirmed cases, 1.45 million. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. And as you joined the show and you were listening to the music, I hope in your homes you are simulating moments like those where you take a breath, where you just take a deep breath and soak in whatever the day ends up bringing. More people are having anxiety attacks. I was talking to a doctor I know who said that he was being overwhelmed. And at first, I was fearful for him. And I said, people calling and asking about COVID-19 and symptoms, and there's some of that. But he said, no, it was people that wanted to come in because they were having attacks, and attacks that they thought could lead to putting themselves in situations where they didn't want to be, whether it was feeling like they couldn't go out and they would get COVID-19 or something else that just had pushed them over the top. So he said it's about deep breaths, people. That's it. Go to Spotify, go to your local stations, whatever it is, and take a deep breath as you head into the weekend and through the weekend. All right, so I told you about the death toll reaching 85,000. Hey, coming up in this hour, we are going to do a little of this and that. That's when I invite my technical maestro, Mr. Eric, to join us for one of those either-or situations, another way to provide some levity on this show that it's all not doom and gloom. But before we get there, a couple of interesting stories, including the FDA warning of what they're calling inaccuracies in the tests that they're seeing. And that's scary because I keep saying testing, vaccine, push forward, all of what we need. And a rapid diagnostic test for the coronavirus that's been used widely, including at the White House, may be indicating some potentially false results. So it's called the Abbott ID Now point of care test, and it's supposed to detect that virus in a matter of minutes, but the false negative results are incorrectly telling sick patients they're virus free. Ooh, that's not good. So what's being said is they're working, the FDA is working with Abbott, the lab company, to evaluate all these exams and the results, and they're looking at the future testing devices, trying them out on confirmed coronavirus patients, and trying to make sure that they're not getting, they're getting the results that they need to get, frankly. And they're studying the types of swabs that are being used, the material used to transport the patient's specimen. Has that created these inaccuracies? But, what is it? And trying to figure out what it is. I mean, negative results have to be confirmed with a high sensitivity authorized, molecular test. So think about that. And maybe there is something I don't know. Maybe there is something in the transportation. They don't know. They're trying to figure it out. But that is bad news, because the quicker we can get the answers to how can we do the test and get the accurate results as fast as possible, of course, that's the direction where we, you know, where we want to go. Absolutely. It was a strange day in Washington because it was more of the finger-pointing, why are we in this pandemic, what could we have done. Rick Bright is somebody who was involved in helping to figure out what was going on with the coronavirus, but was booted about a month ago. And, you know, a Department of Health and Human Services source for one of the big networks said that he had been offered the second in command of the accelerating COVID-19 therapeutic inventions and vaccines partnership. And that partnership was granted about $1 billion from the HHS budget to help fight the pandemic. But his lawyer said Thursday that he does plan to report to that job next week now that it's been identified, because there was this confusion as, well, wait a second, he's testifying about what's happened. I mean, he filed a whistleblower complaint and alleging his dismissal was retaliation, and the federal office looking into the ouster said he should be reinstated while the investigation proceeds. So that's what, you know, HHS, Health and Human Services, is doing. They say he's been reassigned. So he's on the Hill, and he's talking about what's happened and what critical things have not happened and should have happened. And then at the same time, by the time he's no longer testifying, then the reports are breaking, oh, well, wait a second, he's got a job, he's being moved to another position. Wow. So which is it? Crazy. But maybe that's a good thing, because while it's very strange, he called, the president even called Dr. Bright a disgruntled employee after his testimony. And then, like I said, then all of a sudden the story breaks that he's taken this new spot, and the arguments over who knew what when, and how much sooner could there have been a defense, let's say, put up as a result of the coronavirus to do something to curb what was happening. And now he's right in the thick of it again. You know, that's D.C. for you, right? Come see, come saw. And the White House was not happy. The president was not happy about what was said, because Republicans definitely attacked Rick Bright, who told them that the government should not play down the possibility that a vaccine for mass distribution could take years to develop. I mean, after he was removed from that post, and it said that he was issuing these urgent warnings in January and February because of the shortage of the N95 respirator mask, he said that was retaliation, and that if you're looking at this vaccine, it's not going to necessarily be as quickly as, done as quickly as so many people are hoping and praying it will be.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin, right, while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will.
All right, we're putting back the conversation about vaccines and the ousted vaccine official who testified and then gets another job and the White House reaction to that and the master plan amid this pandemic that we're dealing with and our reactions to it. And instead we go to this or that. So when I invite the technical maestro for the show, Eric, to join us on the air from the mothership in Minneapolis. Eric, what's it like in Minneapolis right now? Good weather?
It's not bad. I expected warmer weather, but I'm from the Southwest, so I can't expect it to be perfect.
No, and it's, and you know what's interesting about Minneapolis is that you can get really cool temperatures so much later into the year, right? I mean, it gets in the summer it can get hot, but it takes a while to warm up there.
Yeah, it's not unusual for it to be pretty cool in the middle of May over here some years.
Mm. So. You know, the best weather in the country, we can all kvetch, and everybody listening can attest to this, right? You're all going to say it at one time. What city has the best weather, period, in the United States of America? Can you answer that question?
One of the coasts, I would assume.
Yes.
I'll say somewhere on the East Coast.
Well, no, I wouldn't say the East Coast, although I grew up where it's pretty mild. You know, the people talk all the time about San Diego because you have lots of temperatures in the 70s all year long. It's so nice. But, of course, they get mudslides, they can have earthquakes, and there's a lot of other things that can happen in San Diego. But generally speaking, you have those mild temps. So people, when they go to San Diego, that's all you hear people talking about. Isn't this the greatest weather, San Diego, right? It's perfect. Or like it'll be somewhere else. It's like a San Diego day. And try that out for a spin, and somebody will say, oh, yeah, it's like a San Diego day. I totally get you. All right, how about this? If you have a choice, who do you listen to, a boy band or a girl band?
That's a tough one. I'll go, yeah, I'd probably rather hear the girl band.
Ooh, like the Bengals?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
I don't really know that many, but I know I've heard of the Spice Girls.
Sporty Spice and Victoria Beckham. And yeah, the phenomenon of boy bands and girl bands is interesting. And, of course, there is more boy bands. You think of, you know, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, and now there's still other boy bands. I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but there's a South Korean boy band, and it's called BTS, Beyond the Scene, and they're huge.
Yep, my girlfriend's a big fan of them.
BTS?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like a guilty pleasure type thing for some people.
But for young teenage girls, they're insanely crazy about this band. I mean, just crazy. If you look them up, and the voices are great. They're on, like, they've been ranked all-time biggest, you know, on Teen Vogue, all over the place. So there's always these boy bands, I think, that reinvent themselves. Some of the members, some of them have gone on to, like, great fame. But also the same thing with the girl bands. I still think the girl bands don't get as much attention as the boy bands do, but you like the girl bands. I'm going with the boy bands. Maybe that's a thing, female versus male, but I do like some of the girl bands, so I'm not dogging them, but maybe it's the crushy thing or something from when I was younger. You know, because you can go back to the Supremes for the girl bands, Diana Ross. You can go back to the 70s, and she ended up becoming huge. But she was part of that. And you mentioned the Spice Girls, and they were big, and still people talk about the Spice Girls too, and the Go-Go's, and you know, there was certainly a whole bunch of them. All right, how about this? I was thinking this today because I was in cleaning mode over the weekend. And I came across a giant box I had filled with pencils and pens. So if you have a choice to write with one of these instruments, a pencil or a pen, what do you choose?
A pencil.
You do? You choose a pencil. Why?
Yeah. I used to draw a lot with pencils. And just the fact that you can erase, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've always, like, when I was a kid in, like, grade school, I used to like pencils a lot. I used to always have one and would draw with them and stuff.
You know, it's funny you say that about when you were, because, of course, when you're a kid, back when we went to school and had schools, you always had those number two pencils because you took tests that way, and it was always about pencils and not about pens at all. And it made me think about those Ticonderoga. Did you ever hear of them? That's the world's biggest pencil maker. And the number two pencil is the leading pencil on the world scale. And it's the lead in it isn't too dark. It's not too light. It's not too hard. It's not too soft. And that's why they call them, you know, number two. Pencils numbered higher than two have harder lead in them. And they're used by engineers, architects, and craftsmen or draftsmen because of their harder points.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do. That's why this show is educational sometimes.
Yep.
Here's my problem. This is what I want someone to invent. That every time I pick up a pen, Eric, I have to tell you, it writes beautifully. I print better than I write. It's fine. I'm a pen person. But then the ink runs out all the time, and people put the pens back. So when I'm in a hurry and someone says, hey, take down this, can you draw this down? And then the pen doesn't work.
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate it, too.
I was going through the pens the other day and trying to throw away all the ones that people didn't throw away. And,
yeah. And somebody, for some reason, I don't get it. Here's a tip, America, especially since we're all in this together and we have to stay home. If you have a bad pen, throw it away. Don't just leave it there for your kid, for your mother-in-law, for whoever to come across and be do that frustrated marking that you do with a pen where you scribble and nothing comes out. I have scribbles all over the place because of those kinds of pens. All right, so you're in a time machine and you only have two choices. You either go back to the 50s or the 70s. What do you choose?
70s.
70s. Why 70s?
I don't know. They seem like an interesting time. Like when my dad talks about the 70s, I think he was like in his 20s during the 70s or something like that. And so, yeah, I don't know. Just technology was like it wasn't too advanced, but it wasn't too like dull or whatever, you know. So
culture, yeah. You like the culture.
Yeah, just the music, the style, like all that.
All right, so for me, I would say, and I wasn't old enough to appreciate what your father appreciated from the 70s, so I was way too young, so it would be different for me to experience it at his age, but I would say, for me, go back to the 50s, a simpler time, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, The Honeymooners, I Love Lucy. And some people say that the 50s was a golden age, plus the music. It was like new. You know, there was Elvis Presley and there
Buddy
were...
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Buddy Holly. I love Buddy Holly. Yeah, and just that music. And my mother grew up in the 50s and like the tail end of the 50s. And her stories, see, it must be something about that, like your dad talking about his stories. And her stories were so cool. She saw Elvis when she was like 15 at a boardwalk pier with 500 people. I'm like, what? You're kidding me. Danced on American Bandstand. Just, oh, we went and got, you know, we went and to the drive-ins and they just did fun, innocent-y kind of things. Not everybody was innocent, but I don't know. I like the idea of the 50s. All right, how about this? You have a choice. You get to, because now virtually you can do this, zoos or aquariums, which do you pick?
Aquariums.
Because you like fish better than you like the mammals?
Yeah, I like sea life. It's pretty interesting to me. And kind of creepy, too, in a good way.
Creepy! Because sharks, I have that fascination with sharks. I pick aquarium, too. My favorite, I've been to a lot of aquariums. And they're fascinating. I am fascinated by sea life. Not that I don't like zoos, but if I have a choice to pick one, you and I are both going to the aquarium. And we can do it virtually, by the way. Easy to find that, to do that online. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Kate.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump announced a restructuring of the national strategic stockpile, which lacked sufficient critical supplies to combat the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump blames the Obama administration for the shortfall. The Trump administration's goal was to expand the stockpile so it has enough supplies for more than 90 days rather than just a few weeks. He said, under the previous administration, the stockpile was depleted and never refilled. My administration is taking action to modernize the stockpile during this crisis. The president took the time to thank the frontline workers.
In the days ahead, America will endure the peak of this terrible pandemic. Our warriors in this life and death battle are the incredible doctors and nurses and healthcare workers on the front line of the fight. We pledge to them our eternal gratitude and everlasting support. They make all of us very proud.
This is USA Radio News. The White House is requiring everyone who enters the West Wing to wear a mask or face covering after coronavirus scares near President Donald Trump, spotlighting the challenge Trump faces in instilling confidence in a nation reeling from the pandemic. The directive comes after two known cases of COVID-19 among staffers in one of the most protected complexes in America sent three of the nation's top medical experts into quarantine and Vice President Mike Pence into self-isolation. A top world health official is warning that countries are essentially driving blind in reopening their economies without setting up strong contact tracing to beat back the flare-up of coronavirus. Dr. Michael Ryan, the World Health Organization's emergency chief, says that robust contact tracing measures adopted by Germany and South Korea provide hope that those countries can detect and stop virus clusters before they get out of control. His warning comes as France and Belgium emerge from lockdowns and the Netherlands started to send children back to school. This is USA Radio News.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. Life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net, that's 2020safe.net, to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Show Bob Kapnar. He's written a book called Disaster on the Horizon, High Stakes, High Risks, and the Story Behind the Deepwater Well Blowout. We know it well on this show. Remember, day after day, we were talking about that and even did a remote from Biloxi, Mississippi. But he's a veteran of the energy industry. He's got massive experience in this, massive experience in business, startups, mergers, turnarounds, governance, and operations, you name it. And today he also works as a prestigious chair in Vistage, so that's getting the people in Houston, the CEOs and business owners, as he says, together to become better leaders. What a time for that. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, happy to be with you, Kate.
So you have such vast experience in the energy industry. Where are we now when it comes to oil and what has happened in this pandemic?
We are in the perfect storm right now, Kate. With the demand destruction that's come from the pandemic, as well as the oil price war that's between Saudi and the Russians right now, we have very low prices and demand destruction as much as 20 million barrels a day globally. So it's the perfect storm of challenges for the U.S. industry, for sure.
Yeah, so what do you do if you're, and of course there's different you know, lanes in the oil industry, in the oil and gas industry. What about those people that have oil and they have investors and they were just getting to that point, Bob, where, wow, this is going to break, we're going to be able to drill. Are they stuck at this point?
We're truly at a stalemate right now within the industry. You know, we tend to have these downturns about every 10 years. It seems to be that's kind of the cycle. just because of market forces. Here we have the market forces between international and domestic industry partners, but now we have the pandemic, which has actually destroyed a lot of the demand. So a lot of companies had just pulled out of the 2015 downturn in crude prices, where we got down to about $30 a barrel back then. We were up about $65 a barrel towards the end of the year, and now we're sitting right now at $26, which is the lowest price. It's the lowest price I can think of since about 2001, 2002. And so what happens when the industry, when that kind of price volatility occurs, the industry tends to pull back. Everybody lays down their rigs. They hibernate their companies, and they start fighting with their banks. That's their biggest challenge.
Wow, so it's just hunkering down, getting through it so that you can come out okay on the other end at this point, right, and waiting for those prices to rise.
That's been typically the strategy over the years. Here, though, because the demand itself is so far off, typically we burn about 90, 95 million barrels a day globally. Well, that's estimates are that that's off of at least 20 million barrels a day. Some are saying more. Some are saying a little less. That the demand curve typically for crude and for natural gas especially tends to be relatively inelastic. So we never worry too much about the volume that we're going to sell. We always worry about the price. Well, now you have both. Now you've got severe elasticity with demand, and that has driven the price so low now. So we're in unprecedented territory, and I think there's going to be some pretty serious failure within the industry. Even if the Saudis and the Russians come to some agreement on Thursday, they're having a big meeting on Thursday. Even if they cut their production back 10 or 11 million barrels a day combined for OPEC, I don't think it's going to have much effect on crude price because the demand is still far below that.
Right, because, of course, people aren't out on the roads, even if you just took the United States. You look at the cities and people are not driving, so that's one reason, obviously.
Right.
What do you tell if somebody comes to you and you're an advisor and you've been through not this, but you've been through other challenges? What do you tell somebody that's in this position?
In our industry, if you don't like what's going on, just wait about 5 minutes because it's going to move. You know, and so what I've learned over the years, and I've been through downturns since I think 1978. I got into the business in 1975, and we've had downturns throughout my entire career, and those who take advantage of the downturn are courageous and invest into the downturn, they tend to come out the other side pretty strong. It's happened every time that I've witnessed a downturn. Here, because of demand destruction, it may be different. I think this also could drive traditional petroleum-based, hydrocarbons-based companies into more alternative fuels. This was a little bit of what BP was doing back in the late 90s and early 2000s when they had their big problems with the Amoco refinery explosion and then later the BP well blowout. They were actually trying to move not significantly but more into alternatives. I think this may drive the domestic industry to start thinking about other sources of BTUs rather than fossil fuels.
Wow, so it's what I say that I think in general what people have to do across the board is refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. So the power of the collective of getting information, of talking to guys like you, of having peers, etc., I think would be really powerful now because isolation could be deadly.
Yeah, and we're especially hamstrung here because we tend to be more of a face-to-face kind of industry. And a lot of my colleagues, they don't even know how to start Zoom or get on any kind of video kind of conferencing. So a lot of my colleagues are having this really hustle to maintain their communications, not only with their employees, but with other companies. The interesting thing about the oil and gas industry is we generally don't care about our customers because our customers are Shell and Valero, and they buy everything at an index price. So the real customers in our industry are actually our business partners, people who partner in drilling different projects for production or refineries and those kinds of things. And that's where it's really important now that companies talk amongst themselves, even sometimes even competitors talking amongst themselves, because competitors are also your partners in this particular industry, but also in other industries, to gain knowledge and experience from other CEOs, what they're going through and how they've weathered this, to not only weather the storm that we're in now, but to come out the other side much stronger and ready to grow.
Yeah, and you've seen it because you mentioned it too, and I talked about your book at the top, and you saw what that was like. It was the countdown was on every day. I mean, you and I talked off the air, and how many times did you say, I think you were on media every single day, like on NBC forever, giving updates on what was going on with water well blowout?
Yeah, I played a kind of an interesting role during that whole period of time. I'm a writer, as you know. I wrote this book about the well, but I've also written other things. And I ended up being kind of a voice of the industry, because the one thing our industry does when something goes wrong is we circle the wagons and have this cone of silence where the public doesn't really understand what's going on. And in a highly technical situation like the BP well blowout was, nobody in the industry talks. And so in a vacuum, you get all kinds of nonsense that comes out through the media. So I started talking and just kind of explained technically what was going on. And all of a sudden, I got picked up by NBC. And I was on nightly news during the summer of 2010, something like 44 nights in a row. And I was on MSNBC and CNBC and a number of other, even Al Jazeera. I have quite a bit of time with Al Jazeera because they want to cover the U.S. industry also, just from a different geographic perspective, obviously. And so I found myself in the position of kind of being the explainer. And that I hopefully I added to the discussion some about what was really going on and helped the NBC viewers especially understand the situation in the Gulf.
Well, and you saw what it took to come out of the other side for BP after that disaster. And I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball. You're a smart man. But if you look at this situation, what do you think? What kind of timetables are we talking about? Patience pays, I like to say. And you're going to have patience.
So I think we're on the front edge of a pretty large consolidation wave. These consolidation waves happen during every downturn because there's always somebody who gets caught with too much leverage. They always get caught with a project that is not doesn't meet the return standards needed to maintain bank financing. The one thing the industry does, which I think is a mistake, and it's always been a mistake, is to use bank debt to increase returns, but to fund their drilling and production projects. The problem is, though, the tenor, the time limit of the bank debt does not match the time of the reserves. So it's a mismatch in equity and debt. And companies are always getting caught out with too much debt just when the downturn comes because they're hard to pinpoint. So you're going to have some failures. I mean, there's discussion of having as many as 70-75% of independent companies here in Houston either fail or have to merge with somebody else. The big guys will make it. They always do. But it's the smaller companies that are very specialized are the ones that will be challenged. And a lot of times you'll find CEOs getting together and deciding to merge themselves to keep the banks from taking it away from them. And so you'll begin to see a lot of that. I think a lot of that's going to happen very quickly, Kate, because the situation is so dire and the price fell so far, so fast, that my colleagues are moving quickly trying to figure out what to do here before they all fail.
Yeah, so speed is of the essence. There's no doubt about that, right?
True. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Better times ahead, let's hope. Bob Kabner, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
So happy to help. Thank you.
understand home orders, trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Is with us. He's in our virtual green room, and he's part of our author's corner for this show. And he's written a book called Evil Reigns, A Philosophy of Mind. And we had such a great off-air conversation. I'm excited to introduce you to him. So, Albert, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So the obvious question is, tell us what Evil Reigns is about.
Well, it says on the front cover, it's a philosophy of mind. And basically, philosophy is an art form, a verbal art form. It's the art of explanation. So my book is an explanation of a human mind. To be very honest, and probably very rare, it's about my mind. It's a self-psychoanalytic philosophy of mind.
Oh, you know, Albert, that is very deep. And when you go deep that way, and of course, you're schooled in that. You have an MD behind your name. But is that a lifetime of digging that out?
Yes, I've been working on this subject for 40 years. And I wrote the book alone in the windowless basement of my house out in the country, North Carolina.
So tell us what you discovered that was so fascinating. What was your big, for lack of a better way to describe it, kind of aha moment?
Well, I'm a diagnostic radiologist, and I spent 40-some years interpreting images. And I studied the process of image interpretation, and I realized something, that we have two simultaneously operating judgmental systems. And these judgmental systems create two separate worlds. Human beings, in fact, live in two separate worlds simultaneously, unlike the other animals who just live in the intuitive world. And by studying these two worlds, I realized something that was absolutely life-moving. One world is the intuitional world that all the other animals live in. They see and hear and smell. But human beings have an additional judgmental system called the intellect. And this works totally different from the intuitional senses. So I spent quite a bit of time studying the nature of image interpretation and studying the nature of these two worlds. And I realized something after a period of time. I realized that the intellect, which gives humans the ability to conceive and to choose, was also the source of all evil in the world. It's hard to believe that, because the intellect has done an amazing amount of good in the world as well. But it is the source of all evil in the world. And now that the human population has exploded, and human beings around the world are becoming increasingly intellectualized, more and more education and study and reading and writing and thinking, and we are becoming habituated to intellectual type thinking. And therefore, the propensity for evil in the world is growing more and more. You could not have better examples than World War I and World War II or communism to understand the danger of intellectuals and intellectual ideas. And I realized that because of the human intellect, we are on the brink of disaster, not only from horrendous wars, but from a world slavery by virtue of being enslaved by the intellectual nature of human beings. And so I wanted to write this book to basically reveal the nature of evil and also to really reveal the nature of intellect. You know, we have so many intellectuals. All of our teachers, all of our professors, all of our attorneys, our doctors, our journalists, our writers, all these people who use intellect from morning to night, essentially none of them study the nature of the human intellect. Consequently, they're subject to its deficiencies, its fallacies, and its evil doing. And so my book addresses evil reigns, means the intellectual nature of man is now dominant, and the propensity for evil is upon us. One of the big problems with the intellect, and I can name a whole lot of things the intellect does besides communicate, think, conceive, but the intellect is a creature of fear. It was man's adaptation to his hairlessness and his weakness. It was nature's way of helping human beings adapt. Other animals, he gave the birds wings, he gave the turtles a shell, but he gave human beings the intellect. And the intellect is able to give man possibilities for behavior that no other animal ever had. And these possibilities, of course, are both good and bad. The intellect, also being a survival instrument, is expedient, clever, and amoral. It has no moral regard. And so many intellectual decisions and intellectual acts will end up being without moral regard to their consequences. And the next thing I realized about the intellect is that it's short-term in its solution, being a survival instrument, and it has no ability to judge its unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences are often catastrophic, often worse than what it was used to help us with. And so you can see the intellect is an instrument that is unstudied, is rampant, and is generating much evil in the world, and has. One of the greatest examples of the evil that results from intellect was Karl Marx. He was a very kind person. He cared about the suffering of the people around him. So he went into a library, and he spent almost all his time in the library thinking, and he dreamt up this, what he thought was a utopia. Those very ideas are like metaphysical viruses. They infect our minds and alter our behavior. His ideas were picked up by Lenin, brought to Russia. They installed communism by force. Stalin murdered, executed over 50 million people in Russia who didn't go along with him. Mao Zedong took it to China. He executed or was responsible for 50 million deaths. In Cambodia, the Pol Pot killed millions. And in Cuba, and now in Venezuela, these ideas generated by the human intellect have unintended consequences. The utopia turned into a hell on earth. So my book is about the nature of the intellect and its dangers. Right now, the United States faces a very dangerous moment because the leftists of the world are intellectuals. How do you recognize that? You recognize that by their talk. They are collectivists because the intellect is not like the eye, which sees everything immediately. The intellect studies things piecemeal, but it can't do a good job. And so what it does, it reduces. And they talk about the world, the climate, the poor, the downtrodden. They always use these large collectivist terms, revealing that these are intellectuals. And in their attempts to make the world a better place, like Karl Marx, they are going to lead us into slavery. This next election in America is exceedingly important because the intellectuals and the leftists have been trying to gain power for, well, since early 1900s when the communists infiltrated America. These intellectuals are very dangerous people. Not that they aren't well-meaning. They are well-meaning. They just don't understand the nature of the human mind. My book addresses this.
Wow, so interesting. You know, and there's lots of different directions we could go in with this. We have a couple of minutes left, though. We could talk all day about this. And yeah. I like how you say intellectuals, well-intended, and you gave examples of that. If we go back to what you first said, World War One and World War Two, I've read tons and done a lot of work and research on that, and I completely agree with you. With a couple minutes left, what do you hope people take away from reading your book, that they're more aware?
Yes, that they're more aware, first of all, the nature of their own intellect in decision-making. Intellect depends on language, and language is superb for talking about the material world. Remember, the word material has the word mother in it, M-A-T-E-R. Why? Because material is the mother of all experience. The intellect evolved to deal with material. And that's why our sciences are so powerful, because that is the appropriate use of the intellect. But when we try to use intellect for sociology, politics, religion, and these non-material subjects, we always end up wrangling conflicts and catastrophes because the intellect is incapable of dealing with these immaterial subjects.
Mm, wow.
And here we are.
And here we are. Perfect place to leave this and ponder it. Pick it up and open up your mind to that. Evil Reigns, a Philosophy of Mind. Albert Yasue, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Okay. Hope I was clear.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.